getting the most out of yourself and others. Giving hints from his newest book, Top Performance, Zig on This Tape combines live presentations with personal messages for you as he shares tried and true applications of people management practices. Zig teaches with warmth, wit, and backs up the principles with solid guidelines for your application. So let's not wait any longer. Let's go straight to Zig Ziglar.
15% of the reason you get a job, keep that job, and move ahead in that job is determined by your technical skills and knowledge, regardless of your profession. That's what human engineer Cabot Roberts says. What about the other 85%? Cabot quotes Stanford Research Institute, Harvard University, and the Carnegie Foundation, which incidentally spent $1 million in 5 years in the research, as having proved that 85% of the reason you get a job, will keep that job, and move ahead in that job has to do with your people skills and people knowledge. I'm completely convinced he's right. As I travel around the country sharing ideas on personal growth, sales training, and the corporate concepts we teach at the Zig Ziglar Corporation, I become more and more aware of the critical need for specialized instruction on how we can manage ourselves and others for maximum effectiveness. As I visit with professionals from all walks of life, I see common problems in many, if not all, of the different situations men and women are facing. And the common denominator in these problems is always the same: people. So obviously, managing people, starting with yourself, becomes a high priority if we are to be successful. According to Megatrends author John Nesbitt, for the reinvented Information Age Corporation of 1985 and beyond, the challenge is retraining managers, not retraining workers. With this in mind, the ultimate goal of Top Performance is to develop excellence in managers and to provide management with teaching procedures and inspiration to effectively develop and utilize team members. The foundation for developing yourself and others is wrapped up in this principle. You can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. I've used this statement for nearly 30 years as a foundational truth, and never is the concept more accurate than when managing yourself and others. However, it is important for you to understand that I'm talking about a principle and not a tactic. As a tactic, the words would be crass and ineffective. As a principle, the concept works because it makes others want your leadership. A good friend of mine, Mary Crowley, says, "We are free up to the point of choice. Then the choice controls the chooser." Our success in life is determined by the choices we make. You are going to be making choices that will determine your success as you learn to manage yourself and others. To be effective in making proper choices, you must understand the difference between reacting and responding. It was January the 23rd, 1981. It was a Friday. It had been one of those weeks. I had been literally drove hard and hung up wet, as we'd say down home. I mean, I'd been about as busy as a man can get. That particular Friday morning, we had a four-hour recording session. Now, when you record, you got to move it up a notch because you don't have your body language and your eye contact to communicate. It's got to be all voice. So I was full speed ahead, wide open, 280 words a minute with gust up to 550. It was all there. Well, at the end of the 4 hours, I wasn't just whipped, I was whooped. And there is, as I say, quite a difference in the two. We had a flight going back to Dallas, leaving at 3 o'clock. The airlines had said to us, "Now, because you've got all of this gear, you need to get out here at least an hour early so we can secure it." So straight up and down at 1 o'clock when I finished, my son-in-law, Chad Whitmire, who works with me, packed up all of the gear as quickly as possible. We caught a cab, made a mad dash to the airport, got out there straight up and down 2 o'clock. As I walked in the front door, there were two humongous lines. And I picked out the one which I thought was the shortest and prepared to wait. But I noticed after I'd been there just a moment or so that a little lady was walking around behind the counter. And I looked on one end and there was a sign which said "Position Closed." My experience told me that pretty soon "Position Closed" was gonna swing open over to "Position Open." So I got ready. I wanted to be the first in that new line. And sure enough, about a minute later, down comes "Position Closed," up goes "Position Open," and the little lady looked out at the two long lines of people and smilingly said, "Those of you who have a seat on the 3 o'clock flight to Dallas, come over here. Well, quick like a bunny rabbit, I'll tell you, I was over there first in line. Little lady looked at me and grinned as she said, the 3 o'clock flight to Dallas has been canceled. I said, fantastic. She said, what'd you say? I said, fantastic. She said, now I got to ask you, I've just told you your flight's been canceled and you say it's fantastic. Now, why would you say a thing like that? And I said, ma'am, it's very simple. There are only 3 reasons on the face of this earth why anybody would ever cancel a flight to Dallas, Texas. I said, number one, something must be wrong with that airplane. Or number two, something must be wrong with a man gonna fly that airplane. Or number three, something must be wrong with the weather, that man gonna fly that airplane in. Now, if either one of those 3 situations exist, I don't want to be up there. I want to be right down here. Fantastic. She said, yeah, but the next flight doesn't leave until 6:05. I said, fantastic. Well, by now, the other 2 long lines of people are looking over as if to say, who is that nut that says everything is fantastic? So I said, ma'am, you know, as she responded to me rather by saying, why would you say it's fantastic when I tell you that you're going to have a 4-hour wait here in the airport in Kansas City? I said, ma'am, it's very simple. I said, I am 54 years old, and never before, not even once in my entire lifetime, have I ever had a chance to spend 4 solid hours in this airport here in Kansas City, Missouri. And I said, do you realize at this precise moment, there literally are tens of millions of people on the face of this earth who not only are cold, but who also are hungry? And here I am in one of the most beautiful facilities in the whole world, bitterly cold outside, but nice and warm on the inside. And there's a nice coffee shop right down the way. Gonna go down there, get myself a cup of coffee. Gonna do some relaxing for just a few minutes. Then I've got some critically important writing, which I must get done. And who can think of a better place than a beautiful facility like this for me to do my creative work? I say it's fantastic. Now, those of you who might have picked up just on this particular segment of the Born to Win program might be thinking to yourself, well, I've heard about those positive thinkers, but that's ridiculous, Ziegler. Now, you know, you might also be wondering to yourself, I wonder if he really said that. Tell me the truth, Ziegler. Is that really what you said? Well, as we'd say down home, scouts, honor folks, that is exactly what I said. Okay, you said it now. Tell me this. Is that the way you felt? I mean, did you really feel that way? Tell me the truth, Ziegler. Did you feel that way? Well, of course not. At least initially, I did not feel that way. Many, many different times and many, many different ways, whether you respond or react is going to determine just how high you're going to go in the game of life. You see, to respond is positive. To react is negative. I chose to respond for one or two or three very simple reasons. You see, I don't have ulcers. I don't want ulcers. I don't need ulcers. I honestly don't think I will ever have ulcers because I respond instead of react. You see, you go to the doctor and you're sick and he gives you a prescription and says, see me tomorrow. And if you go back the next day and he begins to shake his head and say, uh-oh, your body is reacting to the medicine, then everybody gets upset. But if he looks at you and says, oh boy, your body is responding to this medicine, then you're really going to get excited because you know it's doing you some good. You see, folks, you do good when you respond, but you're not doing so good when you react. You see, I responded for that reason. Now, I had a couple of reactions I actually could have had. You know, I could have gotten pretty sarcastic when she told me that the next flight didn't leave until 6:05 or that my flight had been canceled. I could have said, that's great. That's just great. I break my silly neck running through all this traffic trying to get out here, you know, to catch a plane as you had told me to do, expecting it to leave. And I get here and you tell me that you've canceled a flight. Well, let me tell you something. When I drove up, I noticed that you've got a dozen airplanes sitting out there not doing a cotton picking thing. Now, why can't you let me get on one of those and go down to Dallas? Why can't you do that? Just answer that question. I could have done that. And the next flight still leaves at 6:05. 5. Now, folks, let me tell you something. There are some things you just are not going to change. If you're black, you're going to stay black. If you're white, you're going to stay white. You're not going to add one cubit. I don't care how much you think about it to your height. You're not going to change who your parents were or where you were born. You're not going to change a thing which has happened in the past. That is over and done with. But the question is, do you respond to situations and make them positive, or do you react, which is negative? See, I could have had another reaction. I could have ranted and raved and whooped and shouted and snorted and screamed and hollered. I could have gotten obnoxious and made a complete idiot out of myself right then and there. I could have said, that's crazy. Who's a dum-dum that made such an idiotic decision anyhow? I want to go to Dallas. I've been gone all week long. My family misses me, and I miss my family. Let me see the man who made this dumb decision. I want to see him right now. I could have done that. And the next flight still leaves at 6:05. I know that many of you are very familiar with what happened when our president was shot in 1981. You know what happened at the sound of the gunshot, and I'm absolutely convinced he is alive today because the men who had been assigned to guard his life responded in a very positive way. At the sound of the gunshot, they instantly moved him into the back seat of the limousine and they sped off to the hospital. And it's only been in the last few months that we have learned that we came within a whisper of losing our president. The way our president himself responded to me said a whole lot about the man himself. You remember the scene? He was there in excruciating pain. He was absolutely almost in shock. His wife was there, scared to death. The television cameras were on him, and he looked at her and smilingly said, "Honey, I just forgot to duck." And 200 million Americans said, "Atta boy, Ron. There's my president." I learned more about him in 2 minutes than I'd learned about him in many, many years by watching him respond. You see, I could watch you for 6 months or a year or 2 years, follow you around and watch everything you do, and I could learn a whole lot about you. But the truth of the matter is, I can watch you under adverse circumstances for 2 minutes. And I can learn as much about you when the pressure is on, when things are not going well, when things are tough. I can learn more about you in 2 minutes than I can normally by watching you for days and weeks and months. Do you respond or do you react? Suppose at the sound of the gunshot, those men assigned to protect the president's life, suppose one of them had said, did you hear that? Well, wonder what that was, you know. And suppose he said, oh, no, here I am, 70 years old. I've worked all of my life for this job. And now 68 days after I get it, somebody shoots me. It's not fair. You see, the way you respond is important. Do you respond or do you react? You see, the truth of the matter is, I did not know a single soul at that big old airline. I mean, not a one. Didn't know the president or the chairman of the board or the ticket agent or a single stewardess. And as far as I was concerned, though it was their airline, they could literally cancel my flight. But there's no way they're going to cancel my day. You see, the day is mine. As a matter of fact, God himself gave it to me. He even told me to rejoice in this specific day. No, I'm going to let them cancel my flight because it's their airline. I'm not going to let them cancel my day because it belongs to me to use productively. You see, I don't know if you've ever been guilty of this, but I know some people, you know, maybe they're riding down the freeway on the way to their job in the morning, you know, neither thinking negative or positive. I mean, they're just kind of in neutral. And all of a sudden, some idiot pulls right in front of them and they hit the brakes and the horn all at the same time and they shake their fist, you know, I mean, they really get after them. Why don't you watch where you're going, you dumb bunny? I could have been killed. Not only do they proceed to give them a piece of their mind there, but when they get down on the office, they rant and they rave and they whoop and they shout and they snort and they scream and they holler and they just carry on. Why don't they make people around here get licenses? They don't know how to drive here. I mean, this is wild. This is crazy. Hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, they still talking about the dodo that pulled in front of them. And in the meantime, the man who committed the dastardly deed rides merrily along, completely unaware of the fact that you even exist. But he is in complete control of your life, telling you how to think and how to act and how to feel, affecting your attitude with your fellow employees and affecting your productivity tremendously. And you see, folks, that's just not a good idea. That's one of the reasons we're going to get into a formula here in a few minutes about what you can do to build an attitude formula or foundation so solidly that when somebody does rain on your parade, when things don't go exactly like you want them to go, your attitude is still going to be good. Now, we've got lots to overcome because, you know, this started long time ago. It really started in the Garden of Eden. You remember the scene? God had given Adam and Eve, I mean absolutely everything, paradise. He said, now you can have it all, except there's one tree that has some fruit on it. You can't eat it. Well, you know the story. They ate the fruit. Then the Lord came walking in the garden that evening, and as I said earlier, this conversation is not going to be verbatim. But the Lord came walking in the garden, you know, and he said, Adam, where are you? Over here, Lord. Adam, did you eat that fruit? Simple question. He doesn't want a theological answer, just wants yes or no. But you know what Adam said? He said, Lord, let me tell you about that woman. The Lord said, Eve, did you eat that fruit? Simple question. Yes or no is all he wants. But Eve said, Lord, let me tell you about that serpent. And of course, the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. Now, you know, what I'm going to say to you is that you don't have a leg to stand on either. When you blame other things and other people for your difficulty, I want to simply say to you that you can learn to respond instead of reacting.
To be a top performer, you must make the proper choices. Now, if you've never had instructions on how to respond positively on what top performers do to become top performers, then you have a built-in excuse. But wait a minute. I'm not going to let you hang your hat on that excuse. Together, we're going to look at how, what, who, why, when, and where to make the proper choices so that you can get the most out of yourself and others. Now, here is a formula for success. I think you will agree that the responsibility of your organization, whether it is you and one other person, or